while the kids are going, I did receive a phone call this morning from Lloyd Kuhn. He informed me that his brother passed away, and his younger brother passed away, and he had asked that we would pray for him and the family. They're having services tomorrow in Pennsylvania, and so he asked if we would pray for him. So let's just take a moment and pray. I also want to pray for Rosie. She has a friend that, was it today? Last night, she has a friend that her house burned down, and they lost everything, and everyone in the family's safe, but they went through a terrible ordeal. So let's just pray for those two families. Father God, we thank you today for your comfort that we can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and comfort those in need. Father, we lift up Lloyd and Linda Kuhn and all their family. Father, as they grieve the loss of their brother, we ask you, Lord, just to strengthen them. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would go and be with them during these services and this time. We pray for salvations. We pray that the comfort of God would just be in their hearts and in their mind. We pray for the peace of God to be upon them. And we thank you for them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we also pray for this other family that have suffered a loss through the fire. We thank you, Father God, that you have protected them all. Lord, that no life has been lost, but Lord, we pray that you just encourage them, and Father, send them help and hope, God. Lord, in the midst of losing everything, Father God, that you are their hope. And Father, we just pray that you'd meet their needs and strengthen them and bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, God is good, isn't he? All the time. If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like you to open up to the book of Luke, the 9th chapter. It's good to be in church this morning, I tell you. Amen. We're so glad you're here. We're continuing our series this morning, one by one. And I'd like to read from Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 10. It says, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that he had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the twelve came and said to him, 'Send the multitude away, that they may go into surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here.' But he said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said, 'We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people.' For they were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, 'Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and the 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them." You know, a couple things I wanted to point out here in this particular passage of Scripture. Jesus has full intentions of him. He wants us to be like him in every way. And we see here Jesus with his disciples, that they were in a deserted place. And one of the disciples says to him in verse 12, we should send them away. Send these people away so that they could find food and lodging. But we see the heart of God here at work. I think this passage of Scripture just reveals so much of the character of God. He said, don't send them away. They're important to me. Really, that's what he's saying. And God's heart for people is not to send them away, but to meet their needs, to help them, to sustain them, to give them strength. You know, even if you study this passage of Scripture, the disciples say, are we to go out and buy food for all these people here, all these 5,000 people? There's an interesting study there. If you know, sometimes you wonder whether Jesus was rich or poor. He was rich. The disciples were wondering, do you want us to go and spend money to feed these people? They must have had the money to spend. And you don't need a treasurer if you don't have any money. That's a side note. Anyways, but Jesus said, I will feed them. I'll give them something to eat. You know, we should be like him in every way. And today, just like them, Sometimes we find ourselves in a desert place. Sometimes in this world that we live in, there might not be any food or drink, so to speak. There's nothing spiritually to refresh our souls. It's a dry desert place. And the Bible says in John 5:19 that the whole world lies in darkness. You know, I don't want to be all gloomy and dark, but we live in a dark world. You flip on the news and you hear one bad thing after the next. While, yes, there is good happening in the world, but we certainly live in a dark world. A dark world that needs Jesus. They need the love of God. They need the light of God. And we are not to hide that light under a bushel, as the Bible says. But rather, we're to hold it out so that others may see it. We are in a desert place, but thank God we are not of the desert. With the Word of God, we also have the ability to change the desert. I heard a quote the other day, and it just kind of stuck in my mind again. It says, "When evil thrives when good men do nothing." Evil thrives when good men do nothing. It's like the illustration of, you know, when we're in a desert place and there's no food and no water, you know, we can be all about ourselves. Well, I need to get food and shelter for my family and for me, and we'll be good. But God didn't call us to be alone in this world. God wants us to have a heart for others. So when we look at things, we shouldn't just look at it from our own standpoint. We shouldn't look at things from our own selfish point of view. Do we have enough to share with others? Do we have enough to give? You know, in our spiritual life, sometimes we think of ourselves first. Well, I love the Lord, and I go to church, and that's good. But you know, bluebirds love the Lord too. And we have to be giving towards other people. When was the last time that you believed God for money for someone else, or to sow into the gospel, or to sow into someone's life? We're quick to believe God for ourselves. Lord, bless me and bless my children and meet my needs. And I've got this need over here and I've got this need over here. Bless me, help me, give me, give me, give me. And God wants to give to you. God wants to meet your needs. God wants to bless you. I'm not saying that He doesn't. But sometimes we fall short of giving towards others. Lord, help that family that lost everything. Father, just meet their needs. Could you spend some time in prayer for that family? Could you spend some time in prayer for others that are in need? Maybe you know someone on the job. They're struggling financially. Have you prayed for them? Have you sown into their life? We're supposed to be giving towards others. We're supposed to be ministering towards others. But many times it's all about us, even spiritually. It's our responsibility to bring the light of the gospel into the world. God is counting on us. He's relying on us. He wants you to be doing your part. He needs you to be doing your part. Let's look at John, the 15th chapter. John chapter 15. Verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may be more fruit. There may be more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. When I read a passage of Scripture like that, there's a clear understanding that God is interested in fruit. He's interested in fruit in your life and anything that you can do to bear fruit. You know, we are the hope of this world. Jesus in us is the hope of this world. And we need to be praying for people. It's not enough just to know the truth and to stand by and rejoice that you're saved. That's great that you're saved. That's great that you know God. That's great that you know the Word, that you pray, and that you know how to get answers, and you know how to stand in faith, and you know how to quote the Scriptures. That's awesome that you know how to do those things, that you've been trained and taught up to do those things. But that's not enough. You've been taught and trained not only to get your needs met, but also to reach out and be a light to those around you. We are here to make a difference in the lives of others. And we need to be praying for souls. Souls are the heartbeat of God. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age." Amen. Jesus gave this charge to the church. This was talking to you and to me. This was to the church. That you and I are to go out and make disciples. You and I are to go out and win the lost. You and I are to go out and pray, to minister, and show people that God is real. Go into all nations. I ask you the question this morning. Many of you have been saved for a long time. When are you going to go? When are you going to go? And that doesn't mean that you have to pack your bag and go to China. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but if but you can go into all the world today. You can pray, you can give, you can sow, you can send others. It's all a part of going. There are two kinds of people, the goers and the senders. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. I meant to look that up. There was a statistic of how many people die on the planet every day. It's an astronomical figure. And when you think about that, that every couple of seconds, someone on this planet is going into eternity. Someone on this planet, every few seconds, is going into eternity. Notice I didn't say heaven. They're going into eternity. And there's a choice that we get to choose here of where that eternity will be. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. God is real, and so is the devil. Heaven is real, and so is hell. I know that's not politically correct today to say that there's a hell or talk about hell, but it's true anyways. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And people are being launched into eternity every couple of seconds. They are slipping into hell or they're crossing over into heaven. The Bible tells us that broad is the gates. Broad is the way of destruction. People are slipping into hell in large amounts. People are choosing death and destruction. I think in part because the church has fallen asleep. We have shirked off our responsibilities to the world. We're not praying. We're not going. We're not being bold. We're not speaking. We're not sharing. We're not doing. Not so good. We're sitting back and enjoying this Bless Me Club. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that my needs are met. Thank you that you're blessing me. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for touching my family. Thank you for all the blessings in my life. And you should be thankful for those things. But it doesn't stop there. God wants to prove his faithfulness to you so that you can then go out and show it to others. Look what God has done in my life. He's healed me, and if I pray for you, he'll heal you. God's not a respecter of persons. God provides for me, he'll provide for you. We practice with God in ourselves so that we can go out and show the world. But there's too many that are not going. They've stopped right here with us, with me. It's all about me. It's all about me. Me, church. You can start when I come. You can pray for me when I come. You can preach to me when I come. You can make me worship when I come. And then I'll go and I'll come back next week. If that's your idea of Christianity, you've got the wrong picture. God is so much bigger. God is so much bigger than that. Oh, how he wants to bless you. How he wants to minister to you. How he wants to encourage you. How he wants to put you all back together properly and build you up and strengthen you and fill you with might. Amen. But he wants to do that for a purpose. So that you can lead the charge out into the darkness. You can hold out the torch of God's word. You can bring light to the darkness. Hope to a dying world. Hope to a world that lives in fear. You can be that person. We must evangelize every generation, or we're going to wind up with another generation X or Y or Z. We don't want that again. We want to have a generation that knows their God, who sees great exploits, who sees the power of God. This past week, we celebrated Billy Graham's birthday. I thought, what a tremendous example he has been. And whether you like him or not, it doesn't matter. He's been a tremendous example to the body of Christ, walking in integrity, sharing the same gospel truth year after year, decade after decade. I'm telling you, he's been a tremendous example to all of us. And he has just continued to put that word of God out there. Salvation, 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 salvation. What would it be like if we were all like that? I can't wait to get to heaven. I hope they do it. I hope they take a poll. Who was touched by Billy Graham? And you see an ocean, a little ocean of people that heard the truth and walked the aisle and gave their life to Jesus. And I hope that the same is said about you, that you influence people's lives throughout your entire life, and that there are people in heaven because of your influence. That's what fruit is. That's what the Bible is talking about, that when we bear fruit, we don't do it in ourselves, it's Jesus in us, but we bear fruit and it brings the Father glory. When you share the gospel with someone and it impacts their life, and they give their life to Jesus, they've crossed over from darkness to light. There is nothing more exciting. There's nothing more exhilarating than seeing a soul set free by the power of God. No one can snatch them out of our Father's hand. Forever saved and sanctified, walking with the Master. spending eternity in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Eternally with God. I can't think of anything more important. We are so focused on this natural life. You are only here for a couple moments. The Bible says, but a breath. Everybody take a breath. That's it. That's your life here on the earth. When you compare it to eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever, without end, without ceasing, that you shall be in heaven. We need to preach the gospel. We need to preach the gospel today. We need to preach the gospel tomorrow. And months from now, we need to preach it again. Every generation needs to hear the truth. Every generation needs to hear the truth of God's word, because it's the truth that sets men free. I thank God for the Billy Grahams. I thank God for the Brother Hagans. I thank God for the men and women who have blazed a trail before us. But now it is our turn. Now it is up to us to blaze that trail for those that are behind us. And they're going to come up in the ranks and know God because we said something. We will never see God move in this earth. You think about it. We will never see God move in the earth unless you and I get involved. Some of you can remember back over your lifetime, because you grew up saved or you've been in the church a while, and you've seen the different moves of God. You've seen the different anointings that have been in the body of Christ. Back in the 70s, the charismatic movement, where the Holy Spirit was coming on everybody. People were coming out of the denominations and getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. And then there was the Word movement, where people were getting into the Word of God and they were speaking the Word. And they had Bible verses plastered to their cars and their refrigerators. And they were quoting the Word and speaking the Word and speaking the Word and speaking the Word. And God was showing up. And then there was the joy that went through the church and the Holy Ghost laughter and all kinds of things that have happened in the body of Christ and still are present in various aspects. And we say, oh, if our kids could know God in that way. Oh, if the children today could see what I saw and experience the anointing and the power. I remember being a little kid going to see Benny Hinn at Bethel Full Gospel, and I was probably 6 or 7, and I sitting on the edge of my seat and seeing people get up on and walk out of wheelchairs and people getting healed and running around and dropping their crutches and all kinds of things going on. I was petrified. Surely I thought God would smite me and strike me dead because I wasn't pure and holy. But the anointing was so heavy in that room that you could just cut it with a knife. And I think, wow, I would love one of my kids to experience something like that. You know what? They will never experience anything like that if you and I don't get going. If you and I don't do something about it. Because God will use you. God will use me. God will use people next to you. Thank God for those that have gone before us and have done and have ministered. But now it's our turn. God is not going to send angels to preach the gospel. He's commissioned us. Consider the Apostle Paul, his attitude. Let's look at Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8, verse 18. I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In other words, Paul said this. He said, nothing here in this life, nothing here in this natural life that we live in can even compare to the glory that shall be revealed. Sometimes we're so wrapped up in this natural life. Well, I can't share my faith. I'm too scared. I can't pray. I can't go to church. I don't know how to lay hands on the sick. That's a little intimidating. I won't do that. I can't do this. No. Paul said, the stuff here. I'm not going to be intimidated by the things of this life. I'm not going to allow myself to be hindered here because there is a far greater glory in heaven. Nothing here is worth the glory that will be revealed in us. God desires for His people. God has tremendous desires for His people to preach the gospel. God is putting something into you for someone else. God is putting something into you for someone else. He is making divine deposits. He is putting things on the inside of you. Truth and love and mercy and grace and prayers and help. He's putting those things on the inside of you for someone else. You are a gift going to happen. You are a package full of God's goodness going in someone's direction. Here am I. Here am I. Use me. God is depositing good things on the inside of you for someone else. The church as a whole, we need to move away from being so self-centered. Well, you know, I don't have time to be involved in ministry. I don't have time to help the church. I can't help the kids. I need to be in church because it's about me, you know. We can't continue to live selfishly. We cannot continue to live selfishly and expect God to work great, mighty things in our life. Because we limit Him. We limit Him. He is not able to move like He wants to because we're so self-focused. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm not having a word of condemnation. I want you to make an adjustment. If I'm talking to you, I want you to make an adjustment that you'll get over yourself, that you'll get off yourself, and that you will see that God has put something in you for someone else. I want to stir you up to send you out. Serving God comes from a choice you make. You make the decision that God is a priority in your life. It goes in every area of your life. You see it all the time. People, you know, the people that are most involved in church are usually the people that are most involved in life. The people who serve in church are usually the busiest as well. But they put church in there because it's important. They put church in there because it's what God has called them to do. And they make it a priority. These people, you know, are usually busy already. But it doesn't matter. They make God a priority. We have to learn to move from an inward attitude to an outward attitude. We need to have an attitude that we're here to touch the lives of others. Like I said, when was the last time that you believed God for finances or healing of someone else outside of your family? When was the last time you sowed into the gospel to get the lost saved? Or is it just about reaping a harvest back? Don't fall in a ditch on me. I mean, it's good and okay to believe God for a harvest. But you also have to have a heart for the lost. How quickly we believe God for things for ourselves, but when it comes to others, we don't want to be bothered. We don't have the time. Let me tell you, there's a world out there that needs Jesus. There is a world out there that needs Jesus, and I pray that God would open your eyes to it. You walk by people every day who are on their way to hell. Every day you go by people who are on their way to hell. And some of us just don't care. There's coming a day where you are going to have to give a response. You will stand before God Himself, and He is going to ask you for an account of your life. What will your response be? Why didn't you go and be a part or be a part of someone else going? Yeah. You know, think about it. Jesus was a missionary. Yep. Jesus was a missionary. He left his place of comfort in heaven. He stripped himself of all of his rights and godliness and deity. And he took on the form of a servant. Came to a foreign land. Let me read from John, the 12th chapter. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servants will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will also honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came for this hour." Jesus came and did the will of his Father. He was a missionary in a foreign land, and he didn't have his own agenda. He didn't have his own best interest at heart. He wasn't thinking only about himself. He was thinking about the lost. He was thinking about the world. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. We should be like him. Ephesians says that we're to be imitators of God. We're supposed to be like him. Thank God Jesus came. Thank God Jesus came for us. Without him bringing the light, we would have all perished in the darkness. So let me sum up some things here. Let's look at the facts. Yes, we do live in a dark and desert place. But Jesus said to his disciples, "Give them food to eat." Give them food to eat. So you also give them food to eat. When we stop reaching out to others, when you and I stop reaching out to others to help others, we ourselves become a mission field. When you and I stop reaching out and giving out and helping others, then we ourselves become a mission field where God has to send someone to you. You have to hold out the light. Bring the light and expel the darkness. God is counting on you. He's counting on you. So is the world. They might not know it, but so is the world. We are their hope. Jesus in us. They are not coming any other way. Only through the church. And if we don't go, who will? Bow your heads with me. Father God, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, I pray that this word would not escape us. Lord, that you would remind us of this word, that you'd keep it in the forefronts of our minds, that we would see people differently, that we would see the lost as we walk by them, that we would see people for who they are, not as selfish or personalities or those type of things, but we would see their eternal destination. We would see their spirit man either dead or alive. And Lord, that we would do something about it, that we would reach out, that we would be light and salt in the earth, that we would take our salvation seriously. And Lord, that we'd be reminded that we are the church of the living God. And we're called to hold out the truth. We're called to hold out the light. And Father, we thank you that it's the truth that makes free. Oh, it's the truth that sets men free. We thank you that that word of truth is in our mouth. It's in our heart. And as it goes out from us, it will accomplish that which you send it to do. Father God, we thank you for salvations. We thank you for souls. Lord, we're going to pay attention. We're going to be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, you can count on us. We're going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful in your house. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to remind you once again, there's a pastoral care meeting after service in the fellowship hall. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.